Welcome back to the Healthy ADHD Podcast. I am your host, Liz Lewis. The Healthy ADHD Podcast is still a place where I want to talk to the most interesting people living and working in ADHD. As you can tell, I am really struggling with some of the tech stuff around having a podcast, but I've decided that the tech is not as important as the content itself. So let's just get on with it, shall we? All right, welcome back. So I am dropping in here and I'm going to talk again about meal planning. Not so much because I just love talking about meal planning, but because it continues to be an issue for everyone. And if we're being honest, during the whole everyone at home together pandemic situation, it's actually been even harder than usual. And I was asked to talk about it again at the conference this year. And at first I was like, I don't want to talk about this again, but I get it. It's important. And I probably need to go and review it myself anyway. So we're going to go ahead and revisit the topic of meal planning. Okay. So most people that know me know I am not a cook. I'm absolutely not a cook. I never have been. I don't really get a lot of pleasure out of preparing meals. My husband is a better cook than me, but if I let him cook, I don't know. I just think we'd be eating even less healthy than we do right now. The other thing I want to say right at the very beginning is we are not a vegan family. We don't have a lot of, or maybe any, we really don't have food allergies in our house. So our planning is, I guess, in a lot of ways simpler because we don't have to account for those sorts of things. All right. I've always thought that meal planning was particularly hard for people with ADHD. It's not just about, you know, women and feeling like we have to provide for our families and make good meals, like healthy meals. It's not just that. It's the executive function part of it is really, I think, what we struggle with, even if we can't identify it as such. We have trouble planning ahead. And the thing about meal planning is inherently you have to plan ahead. I have had people tell me that they prefer not to plan ahead, that they like to just go to the grocery store every day and see what strikes them, or they end up eating out a lot. And I always tell people I'm very anti going to the grocery store every day. I think that's a really bad idea because, well, for a number of reasons, but mainly because you're going to spend more money and then you're going to buy stuff you're not going to use. And that's another thing I hear all the time is that people buy things and then the food just goes bad. And I do not recommend you go shopping every day or even eat out every day. Even if you can afford it, don't eat out every day. That's not ideal. So, okay. Now I'm going to go back to this EF thing. Planning ahead is very difficult. I understand that. I only plan ahead about a week. I like to go shopping once a week. I know people that can do every 2 weeks. For me, that is beyond my capabilities. I can't do that. The other executive function issue I think that most of us run into is that grocery stores are totally overwhelming. Totally overwhelming. And we are very quick to run into the decision fatigue. So that in and of itself, those two are the biggies, but there's other stuff too. But those are the two big things that I think a lot of us run into. Decision fatigue is a thing. I talk about this all the time in the Enclave. Decision fatigue really slows a lot of us down. If we have too many options, a lot of us just freeze. So I have been for probably, I'm going to say a couple of years, maybe 2 years, I have been doing grocery pickup. In a lot of areas, you can do pickup, you can do delivery, and there is a fee. But for me, I think it's $3, to pay the fee has always been worth it because I will spend much more than $3 if I go into the grocery store and just start grabbing things. Even with a list, I'll still start grabbing stuff that's not on the list. So I have been doing the pickup. It's been working really well. It isn't as great during the pandemic because it's like you never know what you're actually going to get. That has been sort of difficult because I still want to do pickup, but now I find myself having to stop, you know, stop what I'm doing and look through what I got and what I didn't and go back in the store and get the stuff because they'll tell you it's not available, but usually it is. So that has been different. But under normal circumstances, I would tell you, if you can swing the couple of dollars to do a pickup and order everything online, and there's a couple reasons for this besides the obvious executive function stuff. There's the executive function side of it, yes, but the other reason why I started ordering is because when you order, around here we use Peapod, when you order, they have a record of everything you've ordered for the last, like, it's probably at least 3 months. It might be more like six. This helps you to create what I call a list of staples. This is my number one thing. After you really think through this meal planning stuff, the number one thing I want you to do is come up with a list of staples. I call them pantry staples, but the word pantry can be misleading. This is the stuff you eat most frequently, whether refrigerated or not. This is the stuff you buy on repeat. This is the stuff that would show up in your shopping list on Peapod because you buy it all the time. Stuff you know you're going to eat and your family is going to eat. So that is number one. You need a list. I mean, I don't care if you write it down by hand or if you're doing it, you know, on a Word doc, do whatever, but you need to make a list of staples. And a really great way to do that is to like look if, oh, I just thought of something. If you have one of those shopper cards, a lot of grocery stores, you know, they give you those little scannable discount cards. A lot of times if you go to the store's website and you log in, you can see what you've been purchasing. If that helps you, go and look and see what you purchase all the time, what you're just buying and spending money on all the time. Start, use that first. Make a list of the stuff your family likes. It might take you an hour or so. It might take you a couple days and you have to keep adding stuff to it, whatever. But do that first. Know what you got to have on hand. So when you have this list, when you go to make a list, like to go shopping, let's say for a week, if you already know what the staples are, the stuff your family wants and you want in the house, that you start the list with that. Write down the stuff that you need. Oh, I need eggs. I need almond milk. I need salad. My husband likes this specific type of Cheerios. Okay, I'm going to write that on there. My kid likes goldfish. I'm going to write that on there. Start with that. Just start it the same way every single time. What I do, once I've written down a few of the weekly items that I always get, is I will start with dinner. To me, if I start with dinner, that makes it much easier to just fill in like lunch and breakfast because I don't give that many options for lunch and breakfast, particularly now that we're all at home. So start with your dinner. Once you've written down all the staples, the weekly stuff you must buy, look at your dinners. Now, you got to get really honest with yourself about about meal planning because if you're not, you're going to end up with, you know, wasted food and feeling disappointed and, I don't know, being down on yourself, which is the opposite of what we want here. Couple of questions you need to consider. For dinner in your house, first, how many people are eating? In my house, there's only three of us. But if you have four kids and you and your partner, that's six people. You need to know how many people you're feeding each time you're making a meal. And then you need to ask yourself, when I'm cooking, do I want that meal to stretch maybe into the next day? Do I want leftovers? Do I want to be able to feed six people twice with this recipe? You know, you have to think through that stuff. And just a quick tangent about leftovers. If somebody in your home tells you they don't eat leftovers or they won't eat leftovers, that is a boundary that you need to get in place. I don't want to hear any nonsense about how I don't want to eat the same thing 2 days in a row or my spouse won't eat the same thing 2 days in a row. Tough cookies, okay? Seriously, like that is a boundary. And there is just, I think that is a demand that nobody should place on you, that you are obligated to come up with an exciting new meal for them every day. Hell no, okay? Just that's my tangent on leftovers. All right. So answer those questions. How many people are you feeding? How many times do you want to feed them with each recipe? And then ask yourself, how many times realistically do I want to make dinner this week? Because it's really easy to you know, have these these nice recipes in front of you and be like, oh, it'll be so great. I can make dinner every night. How often does that happen? Okay. And if we're being honest, like I, because I don't enjoy cooking, I really only want to cook, throw stuff together and make a meal twice a week. I will do it three times if I have to, but I prefer doing it only twice. So I have to make a lot of food twice in a week. And I'm just being real about it because I don't like to cook. All right. So once you've answered those questions, how many people you're feeding, how many times you want to feed them each time you cook, and how many times realistically you can cook, once you have the answer to those questions, you're going to know how many dinners to plan. What I like to do is I like to plan two dinners per week, and I have a third sort of on the back burner. I have a third in my back pocket if I need it. What I do next is I will actually ask the family, like, is there anything you want this week? Any special requests for the week? Sometimes they will hem and haw around and be like, I don't know. And when that happens, I just say, okay, well, then it's my choice, right? So usually if I say my choice, then they know they have to offer something. And I also encourage you to maybe, I don't know if you want to write this down, but maybe know some of the foods that you can put in front of them that they won't ever fight you on. I don't care if it's frozen pizza. I don't care if it's tacos. I call everything tacos. I've put so many things in taco shells and called it tacos. It's fine. Know the stuff your family always eats. Spaghetti and meatballs or tacos or pizza or I don't know, whatever your family is into. Meatloaf. Oh my God. My boys are the meatloaf thing. Whatever. They like meatloaf. So I can literally feed them a meatloaf if I want to and they will be fine with it. Figure that stuff out and then ask them. When you're sitting and making this list, you already have your staples, the stuff you buy every week. So ask them, all right, what do you guys want? And like I said, if they hem and haw around, then say, okay, so it's my choice then, and see if they offer up anything. If they don't, it is your choice. If you're only going to cook two or three times, then make stuff that you think that or you suspect that they will like and go with it. You make the choice. And don't be afraid to push back when they're like, oh, I don't want to eat this. Well, okay, then you're going to have to eat, you know, a yogurt out of the fridge. You know, you have to sort of get a backbone about this meal planning stuff or people will walk all over you with it. All right, so plan out your dinners. If you are making, let's say you're cooking three times and you're feeding four people, you've got these dinners you're going to make. Look at what goes in each one. Does one require chicken? Maybe the other one requires ground turkey for tacos. Maybe the third one requires, I don't know, whatever. I can't even think. One of those, I know, my family sometimes eats those, I don't even like them that much, those pre-seasoned like pork loins, whatever. Write down what you need for those three meals. Add that to the list of other stuff you're buying this week, okay? Think about sides, like do you just want some salad on the side? Does your family prefer to have a starch on the side, like some rice or something like that? Sometimes I will buy packs of, I'll buy four or five of them at a time. These packs of, what's that called? That ready rice that's already cooked even. You don't even have to cook it. You just heat it up. That kind of stuff. Okay, my dog is pacing around. Am I talking about food too much? Okay. So decide what your main dinner is going to be and how many times you're going to make it. Write down everything you need to make those dinners. Okay? So I want to talk just briefly about breakfast and lunches. The best way I have found, and I would say this applies whether you have, you know, four or five kids or one like me, the best way to make the lunch and the breakfast thing easy on yourself is to limit the number of choices, okay? You don't need to have, like, you're not a restaurant. You don't need to have a full array of breakfast choices. If your family, your partner and your children like a certain couple of cereals, just make sure you have those cereals. In my house, I'll give you an example. This is what they can choose from for breakfast. They can have Cheerios because my husband likes yellow box Cheerios. I sometimes will buy them like English muffins or whatever. I usually try to keep some plain or flavored Chobani yogurt. And I will occasionally buy a box of, I can tell you the brand. It's called Kodiak Cakes. frozen waffles. I will buy my son these Kodiak cake frozen waffles because they have a little protein in them. Sometimes I will buy those. And that's it. Like, the choices are pretty limited. It's like cereal, yogurt, frozen waffles. You know, occasionally I'll buy some English muffins or something if they ask for them. But if you limit the choices, they know what to expect. There isn't that decision fatigue part of it. It's just there. And a lot of it they can do on their own unless they're pretty small, your children anyway. Limit the choices and know what the preferred breakfast foods are. Then you know exactly what to put on your grocery list. Okay? Excuse me. Same thing for lunch. With my husband, okay, a year ago when I made this podcast about meal planning, he was still traveling. And I wasn't making lunches for him, certainly. And my son was in school, and he only sometimes packed his lunch to go to school. So now they're home all the time. I have applied the same rule that I do to breakfast to lunch. We limit the choices. I buy a certain brand of bread that my husband likes. Dave's Killer Bread is one that I can tell you. We buy Dave's Killer Bread, and there's another one my husband likes. I don't know. But I will buy things, like I call them sandwich stuff, like usually sandwich stuff. I'll buy them sandwich meats and things. My husband prefers boar's head, so I'll buy a bunch of like boar's head turkey, and if he wants another option, I'll get him like ham or something, I don't know, and some kind of sliced cheese. And they know that they can have a sandwich. They can make their own sandwich for lunch. They can have a smoothie. My house, we're big on smoothies around here, so I usually have spinach or something if they want to make a green smoothie, berries. We always have fresh berries in my house, almond milk. I actually have some protein powders. So basically lunch choices are sandwiches, smoothies. And if I'm feeling really generous, I call them frozen delicacies. Like I'll buy my son a little bag of Tyson chicken poppers or something, which there used to be a brand that I liked, and I can't remember what it was, but I call them frozen delicacies. And once in a great while, I will have something like that in my freezer. I often don't do leftovers at lunch from dinner the night before. I don't do leftovers because I want the leftovers for dinner, so I don't have to cook tonight. So lunch and breakfast, I limit those choices. Sandwiches, smoothies, frozen delicacies, I mean, every so often my son gets annoyed with me and he'll make himself a peanut butter and jelly, which is fine. I don't care. I don't care if he's annoyed. And that's it. Breakfast and lunch, very limited. These are your choices, period. And at this point, they know not to ask me what's for breakfast or what's for lunch. They know. If my son needs assistance with the blender, I will do that. But they do not ask me, you know, to make their meals for them and put them in front of them. They don't do that. So as I talk about this, I'm going to go back and I'm going to rehash. You need a list of staples, things that you eat all the time. I recommend you use your shopper's card, or maybe if you've been ordering online groceries, that you can go and look at your past purchases and use that to build a list of must-haves, staples for your house. Look at dinner first, okay? Plan your dinners, how many times you're going to cook. How many meals do you want to get out of each recipe? What do you need for each of those recipes? You add all that stuff to your list. The next thing you do is you buy limited breakfast choices. Try to be consistent about it. If you want to try something new once in a while, that's fine. But write down a couple breakfast choices on your shopping list for the week. Do the same thing for lunch. Write down a couple lunch choices. Let your family know, hey, I'm making a grocery list. Any special requests? See what they come back with. Know the stuff that you can feed them in a pinch. If you do not feel like cooking and you're absolutely just not into it, it's been a long day, you're homeschooling, you're cyber schooling your kids, like, and you don't want to cook, like, it's okay to have the frozen pizza. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's okay to have what I call frozen delicacies in your freezer, whatever. Don't overplan. Don't plan five meals if you know damn well you're not going to want to cook five meals. don't buy a bunch of fresh vegetables if everyone in your house is going to fight you about the vegetables and they're not going to eat them. And I know you want to be healthy, but just don't do it. Buy the stuff you know they're going to eat. Get into like a routine of doing this once a week, going through, making a list for yourself. And like I said, don't shop every day. Just don't. You're going to make yourself crazy. I think that's a really bad idea. I did not even talk about like snacks and beverages. And I will tell you that having a 10-year-old in the house, Gatorade has become a thing. I got really annoyed this summer when he started, I don't even know how it started. I think my husband came home with a 6-pack of Gatorade or something. And my son started drinking Gatorade every day. And I was like, that is full of sugar and you're not even working out. You're like swimming in the pool. You're not working out. What do you need Gatorade for? $1 a bottle? I don't think so. So all those things are kind of a financial drain. Like when you're buying like special little beverages, sodas, juices that are full of sugar, Gatorade, sports like drinks, that kind of stuff. My personal feeling on that is it is not necessary unless it's actually necessary. Like your child or your partner or you're having electrolyte issues and you need that stuff in your life. I really don't think you need to buy it. If you want to add it to your list, then do yourself a favor and limit it. Like you're only going to buy a 6-pack of Gatorade a week. And when it's gone, it's gone. No whining. Snacks, just like lunch and breakfast, you need to limit the options. Because the more options you give people, the more they're going to eat. Seriously, especially now when we're all at home and everyone's sort of stressed, especially with school starting again, the kids are feeling stressed, you're feeling stressed, you're all going to be munching, limit your snacking options. I mean, if I were a perfect person, I would say make them healthy snack options, but I'm not perfect either. My husband's been eating, God, what is that? Cape Cod potato chips, but he says it's okay because they're reduced fat, right? So limit your snack choices the same way. Like right now, what did I get? I let him have his Cape Cod potato chips. I have baby carrots because my son will eat baby carrots. He will eat cucumbers and he will eat celery sticks. And I bought some kind of, I don't know what it is, some kind of, it's like a green goddess dressing. It's very, I don't know, green and dill flavored, but my son will eat it. And I will let him dip his veggies in that. What else do I get them for snacks? They have their chips. They have their veggies. Oh, the fruit. I have lots and lots of fruit because I go to a local CSA. It's like a farm. And I pay yearly to go and get my produce. And so they've been eating a lot of, my son calls them fruit salads, where he cuts up like one of the peaches and he puts a bunch of blackberries in there and whatever other fruit's laying around. And he'll eat that or he'll share it with me in the afternoon. So our snacks are kind of limited to like fruit, veggies, chips. Oh, goldfish. My son always, I always buy goldfish. And sometimes I'll buy pretzels for my husband to munch on while he's working during the day. But again, I limit the snack options. The more options I give them, trust me, they will eat them and it will add to my grocery list and add to my grocery bill. Same with, like I said, the beverages. The more options I give them, seltzer water, Gatorade, soda, like whatever I give them, they're going to drink it. And so I am just very controlling about that. This is the deal with meal planning. You have to be very real with yourself about what you want to do, what you're capable of doing, and what kind of boundaries you're willing to set with your family. Honestly, that is the key to meal planning success, is having all of those questions answered in your own mind. You are not a bad person if it's hard for you. If you are executive function challenged like me, you are not a bad person. It is just a matter of finding simple ways to feed your family. Okay? God, meal planning. Oh my God. It's a perennial issue. I know. Sign up for the annual international conference on ADHD. I'm serious. Sign up for it. It's going to be so fun and it's not expensive. Usually when you have to travel to these things, it's so expensive. This is not expensive and you can see all the best experts and people like me, and it's going to be so fun. You have to sign up for it. I will put a link in my show notes. You should definitely come and check out the ADHD Enclave. We are having a heck of a good summer in there. We're enjoying our peer coaching. All I can say about this group of women is they are extraordinary. We talk about our life, we manage our emotions, we tell our stories, and it is so powerful. I will put a link to that. If you want to support the, all of the research and the writing I do, I will post a link for something called Buy Me a Coffee. They are one-time, like $3 donations to support my work. Have a good start to your fall. It is, as I record this, it is Labor Day weekend. I feel in my bones, and I know I keep saying this, but I really feel like things are going to get better for everybody. Things are going to get better. Take care of each other. Stay sane. Wear a mask. And like I always say, we are stronger together.